This is the Otway Health Check, brought to you by Great Ocean Road Health. And today, we're talking to the new CEO at Great Ocean Road Health, Sandy Chamberlain. You're the new CEO at Otway Health? At Great Ocean Road Health. Now, that's the important thing that we need to start to remember.
Yeah.
And Great Ocean Road Health is the amalgamated body that will, its objective is to provide a greater breadth and depth of services to both Apollo Bay and Lawn and the footprints that they both serve.
Yep.
By being more efficient, by being one group, and by having a bigger budget overall than we used to have as two separate smaller entities.
So I guess taking the things that work really well from both health services and adding those together, including the people, it gives you a better pool of people, of services to draw from and replicate the services that we do well at Otway Health, at Lawn and vice versa. But there are, as you drive between Apollo Bay and Lawn, there are a lot of, you know, small communities on the way that we're providing services in both places for. So providing great care along the Great Ocean Road.
Okay. All right. And you were drawn, you think, that you were saying before when I, at our false start, this, I always admit your your missteps, that you've really felt you'd actually been drawn to this joint.
Look, I've over the years come to the Great Ocean Road for holidays and visited friends along the Great Ocean Road. I've in the past few years, I've had a real passion for public health care. I've worked at Epworth, which is probably the not-for-profit centre of excellence in Victoria, and worked in very private health in my with my clinical background in medical imaging, but always felt a passion for both public healthcare and rural healthcare. You know, to be able to increase the services and provide better care for, you know, patients who need it the most, but also to provide care closer to where people live. I feel, you know, I've got a lot of experience and hopefully I can make a difference in that space.
Yeah, well, an affection for Apollo Bay is a fundamental requisite.
Yes.
And it's what I say to the real estate agents in town, you know, you don't sell things. People come and they fall in love and they can afford it or not. It's really that simple. And the more people you talk to, the more they will say, oh, we've just fell in love with it. And it's the denominator for mine anyway in Apollo Bay. You came from New Zealand originally. Tell us a bit about where you came from and how.
Sure.
So
I left New Zealand when I first finished my first degree, which was in medical imaging, and decided I wanted to take the big step across the Tasman.
Across the ditch.
Yep. Like a lot of young New Zealanders at that time and probably still. And ended up in Brisbane at the Princess Alexandra Hospital in Brisbane, which was a great initiation into a public health in Australia. It was a busy hospital. I think there were 67 radiographers at the time. There would be many more now. So then spent 3 years there and then decided wanted to travel further and, like a lot of young Aussies and Kiwis, ended up in the UK and managed by, working visas in and out of the country to sort of extend my stay for as long as I could and then ended up working in Ireland for about a year. So I was in the UK and Europe for about 5 years, which was invaluable experience at that time.
Yeah, because they're the masters of public health, really, and
all
the good things and some of the not so good things.
The National Health Service is so interesting, and we did do some work in private health over there as well, which is again, you know, very interesting. Then from the UK, ended up in Darwin.
Okay.
And mainly because I was traveling back to New Zealand for my brother's wedding, and was in Timor at the time of the riots.
Oh, wow.
And was encouraged to go to Darwin. So was in Darwin around Christmas time, and I thought, oh, I quite like it here. Maybe I'll come back and work here. So I ended up in Darwin. And then from Darwin, ended up married and a couple of kids quite quickly, and ended up in Victoria, where I've worked for the last sort of 21 years, in a little place called Kahuna.
Kahuna, fantastic. A couple of mates of mine have a fun club band called the Kahuna Daddies. I must.
Oh, really?
They do, yeah. And so from Kahuna, then you went to Golden Valley, is it right?
No. Kahuna may have been the start of my passion for rural health and living in the community where we provide the health. So as a sonographer and a radiographer, I was well sought after. So I worked in places like Rochester, Echuca, Swan Hill, etc. And also probably started my passion for health management. Ended up as chief radiographer in Swan Hill, and then to Bendigo, general manager of Bendigo Radiology, did an MBA at La Trobe in Bendigo, and then, Epworth for 3 years, and then in Golden Valley as the executive director with the longest title, I think. So I was the executive director for infrastructure, business, chief procurement officer, and executive director for rural campuses.
Good grief.
I know.
So that step across from clinician to management, that step to the dark side, yeah, some people might say. So you were, was that out of a desire to do it better or for personal growth or a combination of things?
I've always had a passion for leadership.
Okay.
And change. And I'm one of these people that if you told me I had to go and work in Sydney tomorrow at a vet clinic to help them out with something, you know, that would be fine for me. I like change. I embrace change. So I saw, it was a area I could develop personal growth, but it was also just a natural progression, I guess.
Yeah. Because you started to know enough about the health industry. By then you had a lot of background.
Yeah. And by doing my Master's of Business Administration, certainly learnt the theory behind the practice.
Sure.
and got inspired, re-inspired, shall we say.
Yeah. And then got to put it all in practice at Golden Valley.
Yeah. And I guess what had surprised me on that journey was the project management piece of my portfolio. I'd done a bit of that with Bendigo Radiology, increasing business, but at Epworth and at Golden Valley, it was capital projects.
Mm.
So built big buildings, which probably the building of the buildings wasn't the main passion of mine, but the change, leading the people through change, making people embrace change and, seeing people grow and evolve and innovate was very exciting.
Okay, wow. And so you saw this position advertised, someone tapped you on the shoulder and said, have a look at this. How did that all happen?
Well, a bit of both, really. Yeah. And I guess working back from your career, if you, and I did have a passion to be a rural health CEO.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, do have a passion for leadership. I like rural communities. I like the camaraderie, the resilience, the way things just get done. Someone will do it. I like being part of the community. So I was looking for that sort of role. And then this role came up and I thought, wow, beautiful places. Funnily enough, the rural campuses I was managing at Golden Valley Health are almost exactly the same configuration as Lawn Community Hospital and Otway Health. So the Warringah Health Services at Rushworth and Tatura Hospital at Tatura, which is about 30 minutes outside of Shepparton, where health services I manage in very similar configuration and aged care beds, high and low even, subacute or acute services, community services. The only difference was the urgent care space.
Yeah, wow. And, we might let you draw a breath and play a bit of music while we think about, or we get you to just have a little sketch about what challenges you see and what solutions. But it's a bit early, really. 7 days. It's a bit rich to be asking you too much about that. if the river was whiskey and I was a diving duck. It's a wonderful thought. We're in the studio today with Sandy Chamberlain, the new CEO at the Apollo Bay campus, the Otway Health campus of Great Ocean Road Health. And probably in about, I don't know, five programs or so, we'll get that. It'll just run off the tongue. We'll know it well. Sandy, so when you applied for this fabulous position and mm-hmm. you were drawn by the community and stuff, what did you see as the challenges? I mean, the opportunity, clearly you had a good idea because you came from something very similar.
Yeah.
And now you take it out of rural Victoria and put it near the on the fabulous Ocean Road, so it's an irresistible combination.
Yeah.
But when it was laid out, did the board pretend that everything was wonderful in the garden and it was just a matter of just hitting the control knobs? And
No. And I think one of my interview questions was certainly, you know, tell us what the challenges would be. Mm. So I certainly have, you know, done some research on both populations, you know, health services provided. And I think the challenges in rural healthcare are similar, certainly across Victoria and probably across Australia and probably to some degree across the world. It's more difficult to recruit healthcare professionals to rural areas, mm. even rural areas as beautiful as this one. You know, young people often like to work close to the city, close to their friends,
yep.
To be able to have access to all the things that young people like to do, close to universities, etc. So, you know, recruitment is a key challenge in the medical area, in the senior nursing space, mm. Across the health services. There are other challenges about access to, you know, to cancer treatment,
yep.
and other things that, you know, we as members of the community have to travel long distances.
Mm. Yep.
So looking at ways we can provide the same care or similar care in the communities via telehealth, mm. via visiting professionals, yep. via visiting specialist, etc.
Mm.
So I think there are some challenges, but lots of opportunities ahead. So part of it is forming partnerships mm. with other health services
yep.
to bring people mm. and bring services to the
mm.
area.
Mm. Yeah. So and it's interesting. I was talking to someone about something completely different the other day, and they were saying, you know, that when people come from Lawn, they come further and they come down to Apollo Bay. But when people come from Colac, for instance, or anywhere else in the West, they're coming to the beach and they're mm. coming up to Apollo Bay. So I think that there's and the other part of all of that, of course, is that it's a rare person that really falls in love with the whole idea of this place, and that is a denominator for all of mm. us who live and work here, whatever we do, because the price of the distance and the price of the petrol
yep.
and the price of the accommodation, they're all things that we all pay because of that mm. affection we have, you know. If you don't have the affection, well, then you do live in somewhere closer.
So. And the other thing is, you know, providing the training and the development opportunities
mm.
so people will come here and stay
yeah.
and develop further and then use those skills where they work, and communicating all that
mm.
effectively and therefore maybe, you know, picking up someone that we might not have been able to attract previously.
Yeah, yeah. Do you, it's probably too soon, do you think there are cultural differences between the populations in the two places, between Lawn and Apollo Bay? Do you think that people think differently, have different values and things? Or
One of my rural health services, I had two rural health services in Rushworth.
Mm.
Now, Rushworth is a very small town essentially in the middle of Victoria in between Bendigo and Shepparton. And there were two health services in Rushworth. And I've told this story a couple of times to those who I've already met. There was an aged care facility and there was a hospital with community care and a nursing home.
Mm.
Now, we were lucky enough to receive $10 million to rebuild the aged care centre to provide a one-stop shop in the middle of Rushworth. Mm. So, fantastic project, hugely embraced by the community, etc. The hardest part of that project, and for me as the ED of the rural campuses, the campuses were 1.5 kilometres apart in the same town, and they couldn't have had a more different culture, more different way of they did things, more different model of care. So I think absolutely anywhere that is its own little microculture, little workplace, will have different cultures. And it's about understanding what they are and embracing them and bringing them together.
And finding some shared vision, I guess, that makes it one team rather than two.
The Code Yellow has been helpful in uniting not only our two health services, but the sort of regional rural health services, because the difficulties of communicating and the way we do business in a different way, we've been able to share ideas and, you know, we've been doing that this way. Oh, that's a good idea. Mm. So it certainly has brought the health services together because we've had to work together.
Yeah, and the have to part of it's really interesting. There was quite a serious bus incident just before you arrived. What do you call them? Code Brown. Code Brown.
Yep.
And I've spoken to a couple of personnel who were involved, and it seems to me from the outside that not that you would wish a bus crash on anybody, but what happened was that everyone snapped to and did an amazing job, and that people were dealt with appropriately and in a timely way. People worked extra time. Translators were found. An incredible credit to the community and to the health service.
There's nothing like a disaster to make people communicate with each other and work well together.
Yeah, and put all those petty things aside.
Yeah. aside from that, I think Great Ocean Road Healthcare is a great future with Otway Health and Lawn Community Hospital working well together.
Yep. Well, that's the plan. And it's lovely to meet you. And we'll obviously get updates as we go along, once a fortnight on this program and more generally around the place. So welcome.
Thank you very much.
This is the Otway Health Check, and we'll play some more music and then we'll be back with a little bulletin board of some bits and pieces that are happening. This is the Otway Health Check, brought to you by Great Ocean Road Health. And we've just been chatting to the new CEO. This is the bulletin board for Great Ocean Road Health. The cybersecurity update. Operations on all the online services are now up and running. Unfortunately, many external emails are still unavailable. In the meantime, if you have any concerns, questions, or need to communicate with anyone at Great Ocean Road Health, please phone or phone the departments directly or through the main reception at Otway Health, which is 5237 8500. For urgent information, the email below has been set up as an alternative, and that's inquiries@greatoceanroadhealth.com.au. inquiries@greatoceanroadhealth.com.au. So they're working on that. It's been a huge inconvenience, I guess. However, I guess the upside is that the new system will be very secure. And I also understand that the damage was fairly limited to freezing things, that not a lot of information was actually taken away in any way. But we'll get more of an update on that from someone that knows what they're talking about. The final AGM for both Lawn and Otway Health were run on the last couple of days, a focus on great care for the community, supported by good governance and collaborating partnerships, was outlined, along with a commitment to continue working with communities to ensure that that happens. With increased demands and industry complexities, it's more important than ever that we're sustainable and grow to meet everyone's needs. They thank everyone who attended the events, and as they're especially glad to have the ministerial approval for the amalgamation, which happened in June. Vision Australia calendars are available. Otway Health will be placing an order for Vision Australia. Offer this year is the new Braille calendar. So if you'd like a Braille calendar, phone reception at Otway Health, 5237 8500. You've got to do that before December the 6th for a Vision Australia calendar. There's a ladies and men's Christmas lunch on I check the news sheet for dates. It's on the 29th of November. Ladies and men's lunches, 29th of November. Groups will commence again in February, so keep an eye on the news sheet for that. So if you've been part of the ladies group or the men's group with Otway Health, look out for the Christmas lunch on the 29th and check the news sheet. All the details will be in there. And there's a remembrance service hosted by Hall's Funerals and Quinn's Funerals on the 6th of December at the Star of the Sea Church, Apollo Bay, at 10:30 a.m. on the 6th of December. And this is a great event in remembrance of all the people that have died in the year past and the years before, I guess. There's a wonderful funeral celebrant called Amanda Meath coming down to, I think, participate or even lead that event. So that'll be really terrific if you've lost one or someone, or even if you know someone that's completed their time in this space and you want to take a moment to remember them and honour their lives, the 6th of December at the Star of the Sea at 10:30, followed by morning tea provided by Great Ocean Road Health. If you can RSVP by the end of November, by the end of this week, to Michelle Tippany on 5231-4244. So RSVP for the remembrance service on 5231-4244. That'll be useful, I guess, mostly for catering purposes. And that's the bulletin board for Great Ocean Road Health, the Apollo Bay campus. And that's this program concluded for this day. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back again in a fortnight. This is 3ABR.